So yeah, I worked for T&M Technical Services for a little while, and that was brilliant, actually. Driving all over the country, delivering lights, putting lights in, doing the show, taking them down, driving home, busy, working in a warehouse, building up this company. And the guys invested in the company quite a lot, actually, so they bought, you know, lots of truss and moving lights, and that was really good fun. I learned a lot. And then, again, it was a lot of the, you know, I could sort of see that job being the same and not really progressing. So I started looking around, and then there was a job at the New Theatre in Cardiff, which is a receiving house. So I went and did that for a little while, and that was great, but again, a bit boring, because it wasn't ever my show. It was always somebody else's show. So it was very easy and quite nice being in charge to go from being in charge of taking shows to venues, being in charge of a venue. So it was all the sort of stage management and venue management stuff that I'd never done before. So that was quite nice, the complete opposite. Yeah, so that was different. And then, it was council run, and it was all a bit up in the air. So I left that, and now I'm with National Dance Company of Wales.
Who are you with now?
National Dance Company of Wales.
Which used to be
Diversions, and I'm their technical stage manager. So it's almost, I've gone back now, actually, to taking shows to venues. So we do a spring tour and an autumn tour.
And do you like that at the moment?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, it's a small enough company to be, it's really nice to be responsible for a show again.
Yeah.
After just being in charge of a venue. It's really nice to kind of own something.
Get it right.
Yeah. And it to be up to you to get it right and to just strive for that and just, you know, to make sure it's good because you want it to be good rather than somebody told you it was good.
Last thing, well, not last thing perhaps, but what is, you've obviously seen other shows as well as the ones that you've worked on. If you were going to pick a show that No Fit State's done, what is your all-time favourite?
My all-time favourite show that No Fit State has done is the Immortal tour we did at the International Festival in Tarrega in Spain, because they were banging, those shows. They were amazing. They were proper late-night Catalan crowds, ridiculous rigging, really special, really over-the-top, heart and soul.
Yeah.
Sweaty shows. Yeah. They were wicked. I'm really proud of them. Yeah.
That is a wicked I think so as well. Yeah. I think that the fucking heart and soul that went into those shows was amazing. The journey there, the time there.
The other companies that were there.
The award.
It was a proper mission to get there. It cost us thousands. But it was one of the first international ones we've ever done, actually.
It was nice going somewhere.
But to be part of a big festival, just the buzz that everybody had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and me and Dylan were together. Like, sounding, all these lovely places. Dylan was sound up in, actually, and me and Dylan were really together.
Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah, so life after the circus. So not touring anymore.
Nice.
But still working with the circus. So Tom would invite me back to do the bigger projects. So if they had a show at the Roundhouse or a new person on the tour or a new something that they needed help with, Tom would ring me up and I'd go and help them out in kind of a design capacity, I suppose.
Who actually designs the lighting? Forenza stands there and tells people who to be and what to do.
Yeah, Forenza, she's quite difficult. Because I've worked with a few lighting designers.
This is the first time I've ever thought about this.
Well, she's invited a few different lighting designers. And they've all really struggled. Because most lighting designers have an idea of how they want it to look. But Forenza has such strong ideas about how she wants it to look they don't really get a look in with their ideas. So what she needs more than a lighting designer is a creative production electrician so that she can say, I want it to look like this. And then he can go away and
invent. Put the gels in. And
yeah, but, it, the yeah, but it's more complicated than that in the tent because there's audience everywhere, there's rigging everywhere, there's not... It's not like a theatre where you could just fly another bar or hang another truss or... It's really restricted in a tent. Everything is a compromise.
So it's like she wants it to look dark and sinister, but Harry and Barnes are going up.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So you have to, make it.
How can I get those?
You have to make it safe enough light for the stewards to see, enough light for the riggers to work, enough light for the performers to be safe, but still make it interesting and artistic for the audience. And on top of that, make it look how it is in Forenza's imagination.
And how do you approach Forenza when you have almost met her remit, but not quite?
You have to. You have to do it. You have to stay up all night and do it. Otherwise, you will.
But what if you can't look her in the eye? Get it how she wants it?
Then you offer options. You offer suggestions. And she's a person. She does understand. But she will strive for that. And having somebody that is fighting for that image is amazing to work for, because most people will just go, oh, yeah, it's fine. Or I trust you. Do what you think. But she doesn't trust anyone. She has to see it. She has to look at it. Show me again. Not like that. And you have to really be on it. You have to prepare 5 different looks for everything. And one of them will make it into the show. Yeah, it's amazing. It's really tough. Because normally the way lighting works is you read a script, you go and watch a run through, you go away and do a drawing to light, to create those effects or those scenes that you want. And then some people put that in the roof for you, and then you put it in the desk, and then you run the show. No surprises. It's all written down. It's all set in stone. Great. That's not how Forenza works at all. She won't know how the show is going to be until the day before. Maybe a week before. And it all comes together. So you have to prepare for it to be...
Yeah, because she doesn't even know sometimes what bits are going to be there and what bits
are not. The sequence might change.
How the transitions were.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super flexible right until the last minute. So your lighting rig has to be super flexible. Your programming has to have flexibility built into it so that when she says, actually, the swinging trapeze is going to be third in Act 2, you don't have to rebuild your whole show. You can adapt it.
Oh, God, that's really good.
It's the most infuriating, frustrating way to work, technically, because everything is the last minute. The fact that there was any lighting at all is ridiculous, because it was a white tent at 5:30 on a summer's evening down in Cornwall. So it was daylight. It was only just getting dark by the end of it. So we rigged all these lights, rigged all this stuff. An amazing recovered arena. So there's these 8 truss arches. Perfect space for doing big aerial spectacular circus show. Amazing. Lyndall did a phenomenal job.
I loved Lyndall in it. I hated the space.
Three swinging trapezes all going at once.
I loved that swinging trapeze thing. Loved it. It was really exciting. But there was something about the space down below. It just felt a void.
Well, it's because it was white and half past 5 on a summer's evening. Yeah. There was no atmosphere. There was no lighting to it.
Yeah, there wasn't.
So this is one of the big projects
I
that
didn't like it.
Tom invited me to go and light. It was a big... So it was Eden's birthday, Eden's 10th birthday in Nova State's 25th birthday. Something. Anyway, there was a big pot of money for the big anniversary show.
Yeah.
So we went and did a residency down at the Eden Project. And that was really good fun, living on site at the Eden Project, having this amazing arena to play in.
And so yeah, you devised a show down there.
Yeah, so a site-specific show down there.
How long were you down there for?
For the first one. Again, I just kind of did the design and the install. So I was there for 3 weeks and got it all up and running and then left it.
And that was the first year. Then didn't they do a second year?
So they did Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And then they did Bianco.
Right.
So, yeah, so Labyrinth was the anniversary celebrations residency, and then they were invited back to do a new show, and that's where they made Bianco.
Right, okay.
With the White Towers.
I couldn't quite put my finger on it, what I didn't really like about it. I didn't like the space down below. I really liked, as you say, there's some really nice bits that happened up in the air, but there's something about that whole space. It was just white and empty.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big aircraft hangar.
Yeah.
When it wasn't full. But then as it got dark, it became more dramatic and as the light kind of registered. Yeah, all our hard work.
But it was nice. It was kind of, I think Taboo was great.
Taboo was great. Yeah, Leaf did a really nice job. We designed that together actually. To be with all the truss.
Yeah.
So every truss upright had an LED, colour changing LED in the top. So the whole thing just looked like a riggers and a lighting.
There was lots of lighting going on. Maybe because you were deprived in Labyrinth.
Well, there was, yeah, no, it was, Taboo was before. Taboo was, Tom got a, oh, it's a classic Tom Rat. He got a grant to make our lighting rig more environmentally friendly, so bought loads of LED fixtures, but then used them on top of all of our other fixtures rather than replacing them. We just used all of them. So, yeah, that was brilliant, actually. That looked phenomenal. Yeah, Leaf did a really nice job.
How much money was that?
No, I have no idea. Lots. Lots and lots and lots. But that's when Chris was kind of head tech.
Right.
So we had an extra person to kind of spec the gear and install it all. And,
was that the first time you'd worked with Chris on that one?
I think so. Yeah. He's amazing. When the Silver Tent was new, we did a job in Newcastle for Woodpecker Cider.
That was awful. That was awful. Course.
Awful corporate nonsense. On the way in, they gave all the boys a bolt and they gave all the girls a nut, and you had to spend the time at the party finding the right nut for your bolt. Oh, it's disgusting. Anyway, but they had Dodgems. I remember going on the Dodgems with Howard smoking cigars. That was quite good.
We were put up in bunk beds somewhere. Then we had palletfuls. We had palletfuls of drinks. We had palletfuls of water, of which there was some of that very nice posh stuff, boudoir, bouvoir, or some kind of water. And then there was palletfuls of woodpecker cider in bottles, and there was also palletfuls of woodpecker tequila alcopop, as in the new variety.
What was it called?
Which I can't remember, but it was undrinkable. It was absolutely undrinkable. Everything
we had boxes of it in our trucks for years and years and years.
We couldn't drink. It was so sad. Pallet full of alcohol.
We used to put the tent up with like six of us. And Tom would drive the forks, or Harry would drive the forklift. And then me and Barnes and Paddy and Dave Rook.
You and Paddy.
Me, Paddy, Harry.
There was another guy in a big truck.
Reuben. Maybe Reuben?
No, he was like Reuben, but he drove a truck like Reuben.
And Tim and Tom.
No, but there was another guy. I've forgotten his name.
On the night we put the tent up before all the corporate people arrived, we just helped ourselves to these pallets full of cider and invented a game where we fired cardboard boxes across the tent. Did we put that?
It was a big catapult.
Yeah, we built a big. Yeah, with bungee cord stretched between the king poles, With a, so like the little rubber band on your fingers with a little pellet of paper.
That's it.
But 5 meters wide with big strong bungee, and instead of a little paper pellet, it was a cardboard box.
Huge,
folded double.
Great. What do you think the next tent's going to be like?
I think you should get another one the same. A pair of silver nipples. Look good. On the horizon. Yeah.
That's quite an interesting idea.
Yeah, it's a good tent. It's a good design. There aren't many tents that age still going, still touring.
It's still looking like that as well. It was a good design.
It's a bit tired. It's not quite silver. It's more of a grey.
Yeah.
But no, it's solid. It's bomb-proof.
Thin bits.
It's bomb-proof. The boys looked after it.
It was. Yeah, it was good. A good tent.